Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
So we are talking about Proverbs 31 tonight. It's our last teaching out of Proverbs, and it's a very well-known chapter. You can go to Hobby Lobby or Mardell's, and you can find many a coffee cup or a wall hanging or something with verses from Proverbs 31. And I'm not making fun of that. I own some of them. I like them. They're good. They're wonderful words. And we oftentimes, though, think of Proverbs 31 as a chapter that is all about women. And the truth is that's really not. We're going to learn about the Proverbs 31 woman, but we're also going to learn about the Proverbs 31 man. Because there is one. But before we get really deep into it, I want to remind us of who wrote the book of Proverbs. We talked about this in the beginning. We haven't talked about it a lot since we got into the study. But it was written by Solomon. And 1 Kings chapter 3 tells us that Solomon was the wisest man who had lived to that point. But it goes further than that. And it tells us that he was the wisest man who would ever live. It's not, his wisdom wasn't just for his time. His wisdom was for us right now. But you've got to know this. Solomon was just a man. He was a man. Just like we have men in this building, he was just like some of you all. He was just a man. And his life, if I'm being honest, when I look at his life, it's a bit of a conundrum for me. Yeah. Here's why. Because he was the wisest man of all time, and he did some really stupid things. He did some really unwise things. He made bad decisions sometimes. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 16, he says this, because this is Solomon writing as well. He says, in my search for wisdom and in my observation of people's burdens here on earth, I discover that there is ceaseless activity day and night. I realize that no one can discover everything God is doing under the sun. Not even the wisest people discover everything, no matter what they claim. So while we can learn a lot from Solomon's wisdom, we can also learn from Solomon's mistakes. And we know what those are too. Solomon had a lot of head knowledge. And he could give good counsel. Everything he said was right. He just wasn't very good at practicing what he preached sometimes. But in everyday living, he was a man. And he had weaknesses. And his biggest weakness? Women. And that's true for a lot of men. For a lot of women, their biggest weakness is men. But Solomon had a weakness when it came to women. We're told in 1 Kings 11 that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that's not going to work. It also tells us in this chapter that it was these women who turned his heart away from the Lord. How could the wisest man who's ever lived turn his heart away from the Lord? It's not because he didn't know better. But he allowed himself to be distracted by lesser things. So he had 700 wives, he had 300 concubines, and they caused him to turn his heart away from the Lord. And the very man who had been given such wisdom from God, it says in verse 5 of 1 Kings 11, it says, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. You know, we read that a lot about a lot of the kings. You go through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you read about these kings, and you'll read oftentimes that this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. And I've read that verse many times, but it's the first time it hit me that it actually says that about Solomon. So Solomon is a great example for us because he shows us that you can know what is good and right to do and still follow your flesh. And it's really not a surprise that when he wrote Ecclesiastes, it was at the end of his life. And it's a 12-chapter lament. You know what a lament is? It's an expression of passionate sorrow. And Ecclesiastes is a lament. He's lamenting. He's expressing sorrow over what? Over all of the time that he spent investing in things that don't matter. He gave his time and attention and his life much of the time to things that really didn't matter. But he says two things at the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes that I think are pretty incredible when you think about it. He'd been given everything he needed for a meaningful and a fulfilling life. He'd squandered much of that on things that didn't really matter. And I think we've all known people who've done things like that. You look at their life and you're just like, you had it all. Why did you do... And I think Solomon was looking in the mirror and going, you had it all, buddy. You had everything. But he says these two things toward the end of chapter 12. In verse 11, he says, the words of the wise are like cattle prods. They're painful, but helpful. And you know, I think about how many times someone has come to me and wanted to share words of wisdom with me. And because it hurt, I pushed them away. And the fact of the matter is that God gives people to us who love us enough to be honest. Sometimes when nobody else will, and oftentimes their words hurt. It's the wounds from a friend, right? But it says they are painful, yes, but also helpful. Painful, but helpful. That's the first thing he says toward the end of chapter 12. And then the last thing that really caught my attention, he says, here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. So Solomon's gotten to the end of life, and he says this, he says, wise words hurt, but they help. And ultimately, what we ought to be doing is fearing God and obeying him. Because God's going to judge us. And he makes that very clear. So we're going to get on to Proverbs 31. Under the umbrella of the knowledge of who Solomon is and what he's wanting to share with us. So Proverbs 31, starting in verse 1, says this. It says, the sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. All right, let's start with this. I thought we were talking about Solomon. Who in the world is King Lemuel? Well, we don't know for sure, if I'm just going to be honest with you, but most scholars believe that he was a non-Israelite king of a tribe somewhere nearby. Some scholars, not the majority, but some believe that that it's actually King Solomon, and that's just a pet name that his mom used for him. But here's what you can know. Proverbs 31 is actually written by the mother of King Lemuel. All right, so we've shifted a little bit, but here's what we can also know. Solomon is the wisest man to ever live, and he said it needs to be in there. So the wisdom measures up, and we need to give it our attention. So that's who King Lemuel is. But it goes on to say, do not waste your strength on women. And here's what you need to know. It is not saying steer clear of women. It's not saying don't get married. The message is to steer clear of a certain type of woman, the type who will ruin you. And those kind of women have existed since the beginning. They still exist today. See, he says, don't waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. He's saying, listen, steer clear of women who will ruin you. And I want to say this. We can't mistake God's allowing Solomon to have 700 wives and 300 concubines. We cannot take that as affirmation or approval, because that's not God's will. And so the moment Solomon headed that direction, he started wandering away from what God wanted for him. And so when this mother is saying to her son, stay away from women who will ruin you, it's important that we recognize that that is true in every situation, and it was true for Solomon, and it was true for Lemuel, whether or not that is actually Solomon. She's saying, don't be the kind of man who's drawn to destructive women. This is the plea of a mother trying to get her son not to go down a path of destruction, and recognizing that there are certain people in life who will do everything they can to point us toward that end, rather than what God wants for us in life. She's saying, don't be the kind of man that goes where those women go. Don't be attracted to the things those women do. Don't be taken in by her flattery or her seductive ways. This mother is talking about the immoral and adulterous woman that Solomon has warned us about throughout the book of Proverbs. And isn't it ironic that Solomon warns us profusely about the immoral woman, and he had 700 of them and 300 of them of his own. He knew what he was talking about. But a Proverbs 31 man is looking for a woman of character. A Proverbs 31 man is looking for a wise woman who walks in integrity. And King Lemuel's mother is getting ready to tell us what that woman looks like. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not a coincidence that the next few verses, 4-7, talk about drinking, about the negative effects of craving alcohol and drinking alcohol. She puts that right after he warns about the immoral woman. Let me tell you something. Drinking and sexual immorality often go hand in hand. That's not coincidence that it's in there like that. Pastor taught on those verses about drinking a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to reteach it. But I would say to you, if you were not here for it, you need to go back and listen to it. But I would encourage you with this. Before you do, take your heart to the Lord and lay it at His feet and say, God, whatever it says, I will hear it. Because there's this inner dialogue that we have when we have preconceived ideas about something. And there's a lot of people with a lot of preconceived ideas about drinking. And so the moment that word comes up in a conversation or in a teaching or a sermon, they immediately turn it off. Why? Because they like it. They just don't see what the big deal is. All I'm asking you to do is to take that to the Lord before you listen. But please listen to that sermon. It's one of the best things I've ever heard on the subject. So make sure that you do that. And I will tell you this. The words might hurt, but they might be helpful too. That's what Solomon said about wise words. They hurt, but they're helpful. All right, so we're going to move on. We're going to go on to verse 8. This says, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves and ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Jesus was a person who spoke up for the poor, the widow, the helpless, and we're supposed to be like that. It wasn't just a New Testament thing, though. You can see that it's an Old Testament idea. We're supposed to speak up for people who can't speak for themselves. Here's, though, the question. Who are those people? Who are the ones who can't speak up for themselves? Who are those being crushed, the poor, the helpless? Who are they? Because when we go to bat for people, it's important that we know for sure that they fit those categories. They need to be someone who truly can't speak up for themselves. They need to be poor and helpless. And in our country today, we've got a really perverted idea of justice. And so all I want to say to you is this: make sure that you're applying biblical wisdom when you're standing up for someone, when you're speaking out. Make sure they're truly poor. Make sure they're truly helpless. Because a lot of times what we call helping the poor and standing up for the disenfranchised is often enabling them. Yeah. You know, when you pull up to the intersection and there's someone sitting there with a sign, I'm not telling you don't give them money. I'm not telling you don't give them a hamburger. I'm not telling you don't do something for them. What I'm telling you is you better be led by the Spirit of God. Yeah. Because, and we've talked about this before, but there is such a thing as toxic charity. And it's the type of charity that keeps someone where they are. And our charity ought to pull people up out of their circumstances. So when it tells us to speak up for the poor and helpless and those who can't speak for themselves, make sure that the people that you're speaking up for fit that category before you put your own reputation on the line. Okay, so now we're to the stuff. Now we're to the stuff that you're going to recognize. Proverbs 31, woman, a wife of noble character. And before we read the verses, I just want you to understand that this is a big picture view of a woman who has become a wife of noble character. She didn't come out of the womb with all of these attributes. And she's not Jesus. Okay? So we sometimes, as women, will read this description of the Proverbs 31 woman, and we will allow it to do the opposite of what it should do. We allow it to discourage us when the intention is for it to actually encourage us. All right? So this woman is not Jesus, and she didn't get this way overnight. She has become a wife of noble character. She's developed into that. So we're going to start in Proverbs 31. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11. It says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. So I went to the original language, and I wanted to see what it's talking about when it says a virtuous and capable wife. Virtuous and capable comes from a Hebrew word called hayil. And it's a reference to inner strength and courage. It's a reference to wisdom and prosperity and power. It's a reference to someone who is dignified and valiant. Okay? This is someone we want to be, ladies. This is someone that we want to be. Men, those are qualities that you want as well. But this is someone that we as women want to be. And that's the kind of woman that a Proverbs 31 man is looking for. And so when it says that she is strong and courageous and able and efficient and wise, she's prosperous, powerful, dignified, and valiant, when it says she's virtuous and capable, that's what it means. All those things, all right? but it says she's more precious than rubies. Well, in our culture, rubies aren't the most precious thing that you can get. But you need to know that in that culture, they represented supreme wealth, supreme value. And it wasn't just value. When the reference to rubies isn't just a material reference, it's a spiritual reference. She's not just rich materially, she is rich spiritually. She's someone who fears God and obeys his commands. She has a heart to do what he says, and that's the kind of woman we want to be. And here's what I love about all that description of the Proverbs 31 woman is every single one of those attributes is attainable for us. You didn't have to be born with it. It's not one of those things. It's not a gift. It's a character trait that is attainable for each and every one of us, no matter what your personality is. If you've got physical disabilities of some kind, you can still grow in every area of virtue. So don't ever read Proverbs 31 and think that that's someone you could never be. Don't read Proverbs 31 and be discouraged. Be encouraged. This woman didn't get there overnight, but she did get there, and so can you. In Philippians 2:13, it says, if you doubt, think about this. It is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Be encouraged as we read this, ladies. Verse 12 says, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And I want to stop here. She brings him good. I don't hear it a lot in this church, and I praise God for it, but there's a whole lot of man bashing that goes on in the world. And the fact of the matter is, ladies, we cannot talk negatively about our husbands and expect that we will ever, ever rise up to be the woman that brings him good and not harm. You can't talk bad about your husband all the time. You can't talk about him to your friends. You can't talk about him in front of your kids. You can't talk about him to your mother. You'll forgive him. She won't. I'm telling you. The only thing that comes from dogging on your husband is that you feel superior while your marriage fades to black. That's what happens. Bring your husband good. If you can't say something nice, let that apply to your husband. On the other hand, men, could you just make it a little easier for us? That would help. Make it easy for us. Be easy to love. Be easy to compliment. Be easy to brag on. Be so kind and generous and complimentary of us that we couldn't think of something bad if we wanted to. Be that man. But ladies, we need grace. Because we're not married to Jesus. We're married to a man who sometimes stumbles over his words. Sometimes thinks he's being very clear but isn't. And we're going to have to learn to have grace over that and not run to our friend group and start griping about what our husband said. So starting in verse 13, we're going to read all the way down to verse 22. It says, she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes, and she makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Y'all, this lady is a busy, busy lady. I mean, she's a busy, busy lady. And someone is watching her life and they're observing her busyness. And I don't read anywhere where they say that she goes around telling the whole world just how busy she is. No, she just lets her work speak for itself. Let me just tell you something. If the social media world could get a hold of this idea of just let your work speak for itself. You don't need to get on social media. I am so tired of all the backdoor compliments people pay themselves through social media. But she knows this. She knows this. She knows she was created to work and to be productive and to be busy. It's not unusual for her to be busy. It's not a special day that causes her to be so busy. It's just normal. She's busy. And I remember someone telling me this years ago. It may have been pastor. I can't remember. But they said, if you're looking for someone to get something done, find the busiest person you know. Because that person will make it happen. We tend to do just the opposite. We look for the people who aren't busy at all. Well, there's a reason they're not busy at all. And they're not very productive. This woman is productive. She works at home. She plans. She cooks. She works in the public arena where she earns a profit. She is an entrepreneur. She's aware of those around her and helps them. She stays up late. She's working late. She's getting up early. And she just does it one day after another, after another, and after another. But, you know, after she's done all of that, you can probably, if you look closely, you might find where she lets everyone know all the things she had to do that day. If you look real close, it's surely in there where she tells everybody about all the things she didn't get done today and all the things now she's got to add to her list for tomorrow. She's probably telling everybody about all the sleep she missed out on, all of the expectations that people have of her, how her husband didn't ever even thank her one time, how her kids didn't treat her with any amount of respect and weren't grateful for the food she provided and didn't like the clothes she made, how she's completely unappreciated and just worn out. She doesn't say that. I'm not saying you can't have a friend that you can go, man, I'm really tired. Man, I've had a hard day. That's not it. But that wasn't the theme of her life. The theme of her life was that she didn't grumble. She didn't complain. She got up. She did what she was called to do. She fulfilled her purpose. And that's what our days should look like. Does she have bad days? There's no doubt she had bad days. Sometimes you can learn as much by looking at what isn't in there as you can by looking at what's on the page. So does it tell us she had bad days? No, but if she's human, she had bad days. Did she never complain? Probably not. I'd say she probably did both of those things. I'd say she struggled and had to endure hardship. How do I know that? Because everybody does. But that's not the running theme of her life. See, the people who know her because she is a productive, godly woman. And it doesn't mean she's never yelled at her kids or gotten in a fight with her husband or gossiped about someone. But the theme of her life isn't struggle and hardship. It's hard work and productivity. And again, I said this at the beginning, but this is the woman she has become. It doesn't tell us how old she is. But I can tell you this, I'm old enough now to be able to look back on my life and understand becoming a lot more than I once could. And becoming is a process, and it takes place over time, and it's true for every single one of us. And what I'm telling you is, if you are a woman and you hear that and you look at that and you're like, I don't even remotely resemble that, what I'm telling you is, you are becoming. You've got to be working toward becoming. You're not going to hit the end goal tomorrow. I'm not. But you can begin the journey of becoming. When you see this ideal woman, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. And the same is true for men. Men are becoming. Proverbs 31, men. See, you know, it's a lot more common for younger men to be caught up more on what's on the outside of a woman. But as they get older, they begin to see and understand that while there's nothing wrong with physical attraction, that doesn't define who a woman is. We're going to read about that and see that in just a moment. But if we move on to verse 23, it says, her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with other civic leaders. And to be known at the city gates means that her husband was a man who was highly respected as a public official. He was a man who was successful. He was moral. He was well able to govern over others with justice. And that reputation he could never have attained if his wife was lazy, if his home was chaotic, if his bills weren't paid, and if his children were rebellious. So everything she's doing is not just so that the world looks at her and goes, wow, she's really something. But everything, she knows that everything she does is a reflection on him. And it does go both ways. Everything that this Proverbs 31 woman has become reflects upon her husband and allows him to prosper in his roles within the community and family. So this woman isn't that quarrelsome wife that sounds like a dripping faucet. She's not an annoying or complaining wife. She's a woman who's always aware that her job is to spur her husband on and others toward love and good deeds. All right, here are the coffee cup verses. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. This is a woman who wears the character of Christ. She's strong, dignified, courageous, wise, and helpful. She's kind. She's attentive to her home and her family. She's energetic and she's diligent. Ladies, if that doesn't describe you, don't try to do it all in one day. Pick one. Pick one. If you are prone to not, you know, if you've got a dirty house, okay, you don't even have to start with the whole house. Start with a room. Okay, I'm going to keep this room clean every day this week. I mean, this is a phrase I use all the time. It's not my own. You all have heard it. But I eat an elephant one bite at a time, and I do it almost every day. And I say that a lot because if we don't keep our perspective, we'll get overwhelmed with the job of becoming all these things. And that's not the intent of the passage. So you start with one. You pick one. I'm going to be strong today. You know, yesterday I was a weepy mess. God, today I'm going to be strong. And you're going to empower me and enable me to be that. Right? It says her children stand and bless her. You know what that means? It means they're glad that she's their mom. Be the mom that your kids are glad that you're their mom. It says her husband praises her. Be the wife that your husband enjoys being around. Don't be the drippy faucet. Don't make it where he'd rather live on the corner of a roof than in the house with his complaining, nagging wife. But also, husbands and children, you know, Mother's Day's coming up. And we tend to just tell our moms and our wives they're doing a good job, and we tend to just tell them we're glad they're our mom one day a year. Maybe it would behoove us to make that a little more frequent. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. In the last two verses, charm is deceptive and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. In all of Proverbs 31, you will note that it never says that a good wife is a thin wife, a beautiful wife, a fit wife, a well-dressed wife. Those aren't bad things, by the way. But when we're talking about the things that will cross over into eternity, right. Yeah. It says charm is deceptive. And in this passage, the word charm here is actually a reference to a woman's form and appearance. Now think that through. Charm is deceptive. A woman's form and appearance is deceptive. But it's important that we recognize that a woman's form and her appearance, what she looks like, is not who she is. Now, sometimes what we look like on the outside represents something that's going on within us, but the fact of the matter is you can't help the face you were born with. And some people were born with these amazingly beautiful faces, and then some of us were not. But here's the deal. This isn't who I am. Doesn't mean we don't do everything we can to be attractive and healthy and fit. But men, Proverbs 31, men don't choose women on the basis of superficial things. You see, superficial beauty will fade. It tells us that. Beauty doesn't last. Beauty fades. But it says a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And it says that her own deeds will publicly declare her praise. Lasting beauty comes from within. 1 Timothy 2 says that women should show their beauty by dressing in appropriate clothes that are modest and respectable. Their beauty will be shown by what they do, which goes right along with what Solomon said, not by their hairstyles or their gold jewelry, pearls, or expensive clothes that they wear. We live in a very superficial culture. Ladies, that's not who you are. If you can't get a new outfit by the time the next event comes up, it'll be okay. It just will. The woman who deserves praise, the woman whose deeds will cause her to be praised, is the woman who fears the Lord. We're not supposed to actively seek praise, but when we do the right thing, when we operate in wisdom in life and honor God with our lives, people will notice. So to wrap it up, Solomon had the wisdom from God to know what was right. He had the riches to enjoy a life of great luxury, but he often lacked the character to fear God and obey him. And when he reached the end of his life, he regretted a lot of his choices. We talk to the kids at school all the time about ending well. It's important that we end well. And when we talk about the life that we've been given on this earth, every day is a step closer to the end of it here. And we ought to be thinking about ending well. You can hear the wisdom that God gave us through Solomon, and you can have all of the things, the material things in life that you need to live comfortably and abundantly, and you can still wind up looking back on your life with great regret and sorrow if you don't give heed to the word of God. You can go to church your whole life and still be a fool. And I would just end with this. I would end the way Solomon ends. Fear God and obey his commands. Because despite his his mess ups, he was and is still the wisest man that's ever lived. And we can trust his counsel, and that's what he says is most important. Fear God and obey him.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.